temple. We do a lot of shamanic mojo. I'd like to, in this journey, I'd like to really just focus on what has been awesome today. Even if you had the worst day ever, there's something that's good. You have a house to live in. You have food to eat. You know, you have good things going on. So that's what we're going to focus on, just to open the space. And then I'll check in with you all about doing individual work together, and we'll go from there, okay? So make sure you have water to drink while we're connecting tonight. It's good to stay hydrated. I will stay hydrated as well. And let's just take a moment and breathe into our bellies. And as you breathe into your belly, connect in with that beautiful tree medicine, with our tree meditation, where you flow your energetic roots like a great tree into the earth. And breathe any hucha or any stuck energy. Just allow that to breathe and flow down into the earth. Wow. Any stuck energy, hucha, to feed Pachamama. And breathe gently into your belly as you ground. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below, Zadkiel, Saint Germain. Activating this temple grid space so that we are in medicine world, and nothing comes into this space unless it is pure love and pure medicine. Gracias, Apukuna. Sacred mountains. Gracias, Nustaguna. Sacred waters. Elefante, Saint-Germain, Archangeles, Ancestors, Star Beings, Lightning Beings, Munari, Four-leggeds, winged ones, insect kingdom, reptile kingdom, beings that live in the waters. Thank you. Breathe into your bellies. Focus on your heart space. Focus on the good feeling things that have happened in your day today. Maybe the beautiful sky and the sunset that's happening. Maybe a nice smile was given to you. Maybe you feel supported in some way. And just focus all that gratitude on the things in your life that are working. Even the little things. We give thanks for our homes and our safety. We give thanks for the good food that we are blessed to eat. We give thanks that we can come together in sacred circle. Spend this time connecting with spirit at the sacred fire. We give thanks for friends and loved ones and community and our pets. Giving thanks for this earth and the trees and the plants, the flowers, the good medicine that is around us always. Breathing into your belly, reconnecting with those beautiful roots anchored down in Pachamama. Gracias, gracias, Pachamama. Just take a moment and sit with your intentions for this evening. And you're welcome to call in your guides to surround and support you for your highest and greatest good. Just take a moment breathing into your belly and reconnecting with your body, making sure you're good and grounded, feeling your guides circled up around with you right where you are. That's the beauty, is that you don't even have to go into a shamanic journey. They will come to you and they will circle up with you right where you physically are. And when you're ready, just gently opening your eyes, maybe again getting a little more water. Right. Decided not to journey into the realms, because y'all go into the realms even if I don't take you there. But I really wanted to do something a little different tonight and really tap in with just being grateful for what's happening in your daily life. Just being grateful for that. And that is such a just fundamental daily practice that's so good. There's a, we might have talked about this before, but I'll remind you. There's a practice called recapitulation. And at the end of the day, in the evening, generally before you go to sleep or something, you can recapitulate your day. And generally, it's just going through the day, and you start from where you are in the evening, and you go backwards and recapitulate, and you just be briefly. It doesn't have to take a really long time, but be briefly with each moment in your day, and especially an interaction with somebody or the food you ate, or the moments of the day that really stand out. And recapitulation allows you to kind of rewind, like a little video, if we had rewind anymore. Everything's digital now, but act like a VHS tape from back in the day, or a cassette tape, if you're old enough to remember those. And you back up a little bit, and so you just recapitulate your day, rewinding it and going through each moment that stands out, and really being intentional with it and just taking a moment to be with it. And without judgment, just integrating it, being present to it. And when you take a moment to be present to it, you can recognize, oh, wow, would I have liked to have done that different? Did anything happen there that maybe I didn't notice in the moment? You know, like maybe you're running errands and you run into somebody, but you're really in a hurry and you just say, hey, oh, that's great. Oh, you had a baby. That's wonderful, or whatever. And then you take off. But then when you recapitulate, maybe you check in and realize, oh, I would have liked to have been more present to that person. Let me send them a message tomorrow. Or, that's just one example. It doesn't always mean you're going to do anything from what you recapitulate, but it's a nice way to get present with what's happening throughout your daily life and also get really embodied and grounded with it. And so this was not exactly recapitulation, but it's along the same idea of, what am I grateful for today? What's been really amazing today? To pick out and finesse out those pieces that feel really good and bring the focus to those pieces. And then the places that don't feel good, you recognize those too, but generally people tend to focus on the places that don't feel good. So it's nice to be intentional to tease out the places that did feel good and to recognize there were probably just as many of those as there might have been of anything that didn't feel good. So, yay. So looks like Julie got here, and I can't see who else. Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay. Lindsay's here for the first time. I just said hey to Christy, right? Okay. Looks like everybody's here, and awesome. So, and I don't have my glasses, so I can't read messages. So I'm going to let Anna Claire handle that. So if you have a question or anything, pop it down there, and maybe Anna Claire can let me know that you're interested in chatting. I just found my glasses too. Oh yeah. So Melina, yeah, I was responding because I can't always respond to messages, but I already answered that, right? Are you good? Okay, awesome. Yeah, and if there's stuff that you all aren't comfortable sharing in the group, I understand. But it's really great if you can share it in the Facebook group, because I think it was Ruthie who was saying after the we did the class last night, the empath class, and she was saying everything that everybody in the group says is my story, even if it's different. Different names, different experiences, different, but it's still my story. She resonated with everything people were bringing up. And it's the same thing in the mentorship. People are going to resonate with what you're going through, even if it's not exactly what they're going through. They're going to get it. So if you're comfortable to share in the Facebook group, that's a great way to get support. So who would like to do a little one-on-one this evening? Anne, are you raising your hand? I just saw this up there.
Julie.
Okay. Can you unmute Julie, please?
I think that says Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Hey. So I don't know that I necessarily have anything like in mind. Well, I have something in mind, but I don't know that there's something will come up, I'm sure. But what I was thinking, what I'm feeling is I just recently finally got to that part where I think it was like the new moon one a few sessions ago. And I finally got to the part where we were doing the religious institutions. And I had that whole like energy come up, and I felt like this whole, like my witch, inner witch could come out again. And I didn't even, you hadn't even started talking about that yet in that recording. So then when you started talking about it, I was like, oh my God, I was like dead on. Yes, I got it. But I also really resonated with what you said about how we talked a little bit about this yesterday in the empath stuff too, how we are both, right? Like, I may have been at some point, like persecuted for whatever it was that I did, but I also may have been the persecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently with all of this Facebook energy around the hashtag Me Too,
mm-hmm.
Bringing up all of that. I mean, that's like huge collective energy. So I thought maybe we could do something on the persecutor side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm open to be the one that, you know, whatever. I mean, I can't, nothing is personally coming to mind, but whatever comes up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So not just for me, but for everyone and for the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good question. I also want to remind everybody that when you tap in with, and you didn't use the term past life, but since you mentioned witches,
yeah.
It feels right. Like a past life energy
it
that you're talking about.
And I have worked personally on it before, and mm-hmm. It was something that we worked on, that this witch life of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it just really like came up when I did that religious institution. So.
Yeah, well, because the religious institutions would have taken out a lot of the witches. So when
yeah.
You clear from that energy and that hook with the religious institutions, then somebody's writing in big caps on the thing. I'm going to ignore that. when you clear with institutions like that, then you are free to have your medicine come up, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I also want to just touch a little bit on past life work. Past life work is awesome. I love to share it. I love to do it. It's something I've done for years, worked with the Akashic Records, all of that. At the same time, I would love for you all to just take it with a grain of salt. We're all one energy, and all the stories are happening at the same time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it might be literal that you were a witch in some other lifetime and something happened and you had that experience, and so now you're healing from it. It could also be that you've simply tapped in to that collective story, that collective memory, and it's not necessarily a literal past life because
yeah.
That collective memory is happening right now. And the reason I mention that, not specifically to you, but in general, is because sometimes people get really caught up in those past life stories.
Right.
And for me, you know, I can't honestly tell you in all the years that I've been working with past lives, I can't tell if it's literal or if we're tapping into a collective memory stream because
yeah.
We're all one energy and because we're all, I really feel that the past, present, and future as we perceive it is all happening at once. Which is why you're able to link in with a collective story that you actually like. A lot of people get really linked into martyrdom stories or suffering stories because they're dramatic. So those are going to have the biggest energy, and the stories with the biggest energy will remember. Nobody comes and sits with me in a private session and says, I was a lowly milkmaid who had a very simple life in a past life. And nothing interesting happened. Like, nobody ever said that, you know? Like, those aren't the ones that generally get your attention or get the attention of the collective energy and stick around like that. It's always something really dramatic. So in as many times as we've had the dramatic experiences and we feel linked in with that, you're also linked in with simple, wonderful, beautiful lives where everything was just, you literally were like, grew up on a farm and had a family and got married and had kids and you milked the cows and everything was beautiful and you didn't really think about all this other stuff and it was super chill and not dramatic, you know, necessarily. So it's good to remember that and balance that. Just want to put that on everybody's radar because sometimes, excuse me?
Tearing down my door. I have to let her in.
So first I want to say that. And then the perpetrator energy, that's an interesting thing to sit with. It's also some really good shadow work. So Julie likes to just jump right in. She doesn't do appetizers. She goes straight to the entree. So
we can just discuss it. I mean, I feel like I've done a lot of work on that. So if we just want to discuss it, but
I'm just being funny because I'm tracking and listening to what would be best to do for the group. And I'm like, wow, this is some big shadow work. Okay. And the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too piece is bringing up a lot of stuff. I've actually had a few people contact me because they felt triggered by all the stories online. Not, they weren't judging anybody sharing their stories. It was just bringing stuff up for them. And so wanting to sit and work with that. It's that story. And I mentioned this last night on the empath class. It's that old story of the two wolves are inside of us. Which one do we feed, fear or love? So it's all inside of us. We are the perpetrator. We are the savior. We are the victim. We are the martyr. We have all of that shadow within us. So it's just a matter of how we'd like to be with that. I would like to take a moment and check in and see the best way to be with this, whether it's just a conversation or if there's something we could actually do, because I feel like we could do some clearing, some general clearing around perpetrator energy. And I'd like to do that with grace and ease because most of you who have sat, if you've sat with me before, you know that that's how I roll at this point on my journey. I am totally up for just, you know, seeing that scary monster and walking straight up to it. And I just don't know that that's necessarily necessary. That was a strange grammatical way to speak. But let's just breathe into our bellies. Let me take a moment and check in with spirit about. Okay. So let's work this way. Let's work as a group. And thanks, Julie, for bringing that up and for being open to just letting it flow however it's going to flow. What I'm receiving, and why don't you, Anna Claire, if you'll mute Julie so I don't get feedback, and I'll just walk everybody through it, and then I can check back in with Julie if we need to. So just take a moment and breathe into your belly. And any guides that you're working with, if you're not sure who your guides are, that's okay. You can call in angels for support or animal totems that feel good to you or teachers in the realms. And just surround yourself in that support right there where you're sitting so that you feel really safe and held and supported. And then I'd like you to call in the aspect of you. So meaning I want you to let the aspect of you stand in front of you, however it presents itself. The aspect of you that says things like, you're too fat. That's ugly cellulite. You shouldn't eat that. Nobody's going to like you unless that's perpetrator energy too. It's just subtle. Those places where we self-loathe and self-hate and self-criticize and self-judge. So just take a moment and let that self-loathing, self-criticism, self-judgment, you know, energetic self-harm energy, only if you're comfortable, let that energy step outside of you and stand in front of you and see what that energy looks like to you. Let it have a shape and a form that can show you what it looks like. And just breathe into your belly. And if it's not comfortable, just keep your guides super close around you. And when you have a sense and you can see that energy in front of you, just breathe into your belly, ground your energy, and just ask that being, ask that essence of you, what do you need? Just from your heart, just ask it, what do you need? And see if you're able to send love to that energy, if you're able to offer compassion in any way, if you're able to even just surround it in healing light so that that energy can feel safe and loved and seen and received for what it truly needs. And check in and see if there's any remnants of self-loathing or energy in you that judges others. And if that energy needs to step out, or maybe it's the same energy that judges yourself. And just bring as much love and understanding and find out what those energies need. And if you need support, ask your guides for support. Empowering these energies to be filled with love and light and understanding, because everything they're sharing is valid. Let these energies know that you're listening and that you hear them. That you want them to feel safe and seen and received. And as you're able to bring that love and that support to these energies, see how that allows them to shapeshift. If it does, it may not be ready to shapeshift for you yet. And allow yourself to feel, starting with your heart, with such divine light that you are just completely expansive. Because you're going to want to integrate those shadow pieces back into your heart, into pure love and pure medicine. And when you are as expansive as the infinite oceans of infinite oceans, when you are that kind of pure love and pure medicine, you can bring compassion to these energies, allow them to transmute and transform right back into your heart, into pure love and pure medicine, so that you bring those shadow pieces back in fully integrated and healed and whole. And just see how that feels. If you're able to do that, if you're not, it's okay. Poco a poco, bit by bit, be gentle with yourself. And breathe into your belly as you come to a place of completion with this. And it's okay if you're going to need to go and do that again or need some more space with it, if it didn't all come in tonight. We're working as a group. So can you unmute Julie and I'll check in back in with her, please, Anna Claire, just since we were talking. How was that for you, Julie?
That was, you couldn't have hit the head, nail on the head anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a heavy piece in my like solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And like I personally saw it as like it felt so like almost like a piece of coal, like super heavy but small. And that it had the potential to like light up and be this huge, you know, raging fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which it obviously can sometimes. But then when we were transforming it, it became like this swirly, like pinks and blues and whatever. And then I was trying to like embrace it and like hug it, and you know, it grew a little bit, but it was very like a, like a gel type. So it was like squirming out of my arms and things. But then when you said to let the light come through us, that changed it even more. And it was almost like cotton candy, so I could really bring it in and it was soft.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
light.
Mm-hmm.
But what the very first thing that you said about it being like that energy where you talk to yourself about being fat or whatever, like how we self-talk that's not good, that hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
That knocked it out of me. So,
mm. Yeah. And that, you know, you're too fat may not be everybody's self-talk, but everybody's got self-talk,
right,
you know,
right.
And, you know, as a woman, I was trying to think of, you know, what I might say to myself, you know, and channeling through what spirit was bringing, but
yeah.
There's a way to do healing around perpetrator energy before you ever have to deal with clearing the perpetrator themselves,
right,
whoever they may be. This is a way to work with that energy within yourself with more gentleness and ease, because sometimes it feels really hard or challenging to try to do healing with the physical person or place or situation or thing. And the truth is, we carry perpetrator energy too, and we talk to ourselves that way. A lot of the times, or you may not do it anymore. Maybe you did it as a kid, or maybe you don't realize you're doing it. But even if you just go, oh, I'm so stupid. What did I, you know, like,
uh-huh.
It's subtle. It's really subtle. And so even though we didn't necessarily touch on someone outside of ourselves that's the perpetrator,
right,
there's a place for that healing too.
First, then how can we, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And this is a loving way to really check that energy within ourselves, because especially if you've had a traumatic experience, then it's really easy to become your own perpetrator, because there's guilt and shame and all the things that come up from sexual assault. And it's more than sexual assault. It can be a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, the way we talk to ourselves is so important. And it's interesting that you mentioned the fire piece, the energy. You said it showed up pretty fiery. Is that what you said at first?
No, it showed up as like a little, like, heavy, but like almost like a lump of coal. Like I was associating it with that it had the potential to be explosive or bigger, but it was in this like small, like I looked at it like, really, that's what I'm afraid of, you know?
Yeah, that's often the case when I in the past have gone and confronted things that I thought would kill me. You know, when I confronted that fear in the realms, and then I realized I just put my finger through it, and it's like, wow, I gave you so much power.
Right.
And you're just like a cloud that I just busted, you know. But I heard you say something about fire, and so I'm just want to share something that came up because I feel like it's relevant for everybody. And especially for women, but it's really relevant for men too. We haven't necessarily been mentored how to be that fiery, assertive, you know, even aggressive in a good way when you just go for it and you're motivated. We think of that as kind of a masculine energy, and haven't necessarily seen that fire energy really mentored in a super healthy way as a collective. And I was in medicine ceremony with some apprentices who happened to all be female. And what was really coming up was this solar energy, this father solar fire energy. And the healing that was happening was the fear of being in that energy. And this desire to kind of make it more flowy and watery and bring in blue light and smooth everything. And the healing in that medicine ceremony was really about staying in your fire and being willing to trust your fire and letting it be okay to be that fiery, assertive, that lion, that energy, you know, and allowing that fire to be embodied in a way that feels safe. So what was happening was they were trying to work with their own personal fire, like the aggressive energy and the I'm pissed energy and the this isn't fair energy. And they kept trying to assuage it with all of this calming, cooling. And I was like, you know how they stop wildfires? Yeah, they dump chemicals and they try to put water on it. But one of the biggest ways they contain a fire, a raging fire, is to put another wall of fire there. They create a contained fire break, and then the fire hits the fire and it stops. I mean, it doesn't stop burning, but it stops moving.
Right.
So sometimes you got to meet fire with fire, you know, and hold your fire energy with fire and have a controlled burn instead of feeling like you're raging out of control, but you know, and working with that. So I want to mention that just because to me, that's part of there's a whole lot of layers coming up with the hashtag Me Too.
Yeah.
And one of them is women being able to be in our fire as well as everything else that we get to be in. And men being in their fire too. But since I'm speaking to you and you're female, when you mentioned that, I saw that this possibility of all this beautiful fire medicine that you can bring, and a lot of times there's fear to really activate that fire energy. And we tend to try to kind of balance it with water. And sometimes you need to meet your fire with fire. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that was a really potent thing that came up in ceremony over the weekend. And it popped into my head as you were talking about that, because I heard you say fire, even though I may have misunderstood. But a lot of times there's this fear to let that anger and that aggression and all that stuff come up and be met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're taught as a collective to be a good girl, be a lady, you know. Shanti and I were talking about that, this whole idea of the word lady and being pristine and well-behaved and all of that. And where's the fire? You know, when are women allowed to be that fire, that Shakti, that Kali, as well as all the rest of it. So, yeah, so I really appreciate you bringing that here, and that felt, Spirit was counseling that that's a gentle way to be with our own self-care, with our own, with those places where we self-loathe and self-hate and self-criticize and self-judge, and that's subtle perpetrator energy, and sometimes it's not so subtle.
Right.
You know, when people are cutting on themselves or eating disorders or other physical things that aren't subtle, you know, that's a perpetrator energy to ourselves. So that's a whole big thing. But that was really awesome. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
And it does feel really relevant. I you know, because I've seen that too. Okay, so you can mute Julie, please. I'm just trying to read what everybody said. Oh, good, Lindsay. I'm glad it's relevant. Yeah, the stuff we do tends to be relevant to whatever's coming up, even if we don't touch whatever's been happening, you know, in the collective. It all gets in there. Good, Blue Fire. I'm glad that helped. Oh, good, Paige. Integrated with love. Yeah, and sometimes... And I'm not sure what you meant by not cleared, but it's okay if it's not completely cleared. I mean, this is a process. This is layers of conditioning and layers of energy that's been projected and layers of our own projection and layers of culture and programs. And so be gentle with yourselves. That was a really brief and general thing that we did as a group. And it gives you something to continue working with. Like, you can do this again on your own if you feel comfortable doing it by yourself. And you can do that. You can even kind of separate it out. Like, if you are someone who, you know, if you are always judging your physical body and maybe you think you're too fat or you think you're too thin or whatever, you can actually invite that piece out of you and bring it out here and talk to it and go, what's up with you? What's up? Let's talk. What do you need? How can I give you what you need so that I can stop judging myself for being this physical shape? And the beauty of integrating that shadow is that your physical shape will probably shift because you're not in resistance so much anymore. Another thing that makes this really palpable is that the very first shaman I ever studied with said that we walk around on the planet, you know, going, where are my hands? Where are my hands? You know, we need somebody to hold a mirror. And so that we go, oh, there they are. Thank you. Because we're too close. So what you're doing when you tap in with these energies, it's similar to going into a shamanic journey and talking to a guide. You're just going into yourself and asking that energetic aspect to come forward. And so you're basically taking it like this and going, hi, I want to talk to you. Because it's easier to have a sense of talking to something outside of yourself, even though it's really not, but it gives you a tangible way to talk to it and work with it. So that's something you can continue to do. And if you're like, if there's an aspect of you that you're really just having a hard time getting in balance with and harmony with and loving that part of yourself, then have that aspect, feel that aspect, a sense of it stepping out, and have a conversation with it and be real and be honest. You know, I mean, it can be stuff that seems kind of silly, but can make a big deal to you. So when I first started doing recordings and online stuff and videos and all this stuff, when I was a little girl, I was probably like junior high. And so I had reached puberty. So my voice was this low. And I'm like 13. And this girl at summer camp made fun of my voice and said I had a boy's voice, right? And I haven't thought about that in 100 years, you know what I'm saying? And I started making YouTube videos. I was like, oh, my God, my voice is so low, you know? And I went, oh, my gosh, I'm totally right back in summer camp. And that was a girl who made fun of me. That wasn't even like a boy who made fun of me. That was a girl. But it's so funny how... Excuse me, I have a tickle in my throat. It's so funny how that stuff will stick with us. And then we judge ourselves over stuff that some girl at summer camp said, you know, I mean, it's not always super traumatic. although that felt very hurtful to me at the time. She also said I had boy's legs, so go figure. She was not very nice. But I really held on to that and took that personally. So when I got on, started doing videos, it totally popped up again. And that's just an example. What I did was I went, oh, hell no. I'm not letting some girl from when I was 13 determine my moving forward, right? And so I just kept doing it, and I just decided to ignore all that stuff because I really cleared a lot of that, and it didn't faze me. But if you've got stuff like that coming up, feel free to just bring that aspect out and go, hey, you who's judging your voice, what's up? What do you need? What can I bring you so that we can love our voice, right? Now, here's a little follow-up that I find really funny. I did I've been doing interviews on, what are they called, podcasts. And somebody listened to one of the podcast interviews I did and sent me a message and said, you have such a great voice for radio. You should do interviews more. And I just laughed, and I was like, yeah, girl in summer camp. No, it just made me laugh. Because, like, there's people who do appreciate what you look like, how you sound, what your deal is. And there's, you know, I saw a meme that said something like, go ahead and let the haters hate, and you just keep doing you, and then they'll come ask you for a job or something like that. And that just, you know, I'm not going to focus on the haters. But anytime that there is something that's coming up, and it doesn't matter if it's silly like that. I mean, that sounds silly, like the voice thing, but that really upset me throughout my whole teenage years. And whenever I met a guy, I would raise my voice because I wanted to sound more feminine. I mean, talk about hashtag me too. Like, and that was from a girl who just made fun of me for not being feminine enough, right? So it comes in all sorts of ways, even when people don't mean it. So it's really good to just continue with this in any places, and just take your whole body, whether you're male or female, just focus any place where you're like, I really want to bring some love to that place. And you can either talk to that energy out here that's judging it, or you can actually go into your body like a shamanic journey and just talk to that area. You know, just say, you know, what? Maybe you don't like your belly, and maybe you just shamanic journey down, see yourself diving down into your belly and go, hey, belly, what's up? Let's talk. Let's be friends. I know I've been hating on you, and I am so sorry. And, you know, there's lots of different ways to work with it. So I was trying to go up here. Lisa had said something. So through my surgery and mending, I found that it's not fear of death that's around me. I'm afraid of living large, living fully, living without abandon. I was surprised at this realization, but it is my core true. I just lost my video. Sorry. Yeah, Lisa, I feel like what you're tapping on is, and you can unmute Lisa if you don't mind, Anna Claire. A fear of living really is the big, where is Lisa on my screen here? Where are you, Lisa? Oh, there you are. Honestly, when people come sit with me in private session, it's very much that quote from Marianne Williamson that got really famous. It's not our shadow that frightens us. It's our light, you know? And so most people are afraid to be big. You know, really, it's almost like a fear of success, which seems weird. Being afraid to step into our gifts. And part of that is what we were just doing, the perpetrator energy, or linking in with those certain lifetime streams of energy where you're linking in with medicine people or witches or whoever who went to put their energy out big into the world and got slammed. Right. And so we tend to link in with that and remember those energies and feel that fear. And it can be scary to express in this lifetime, even though logically we're like, well, I know I'm okay, but doesn't matter what the head thinks, the energetic body is still remembering. So was there anything specific, Lisa?
Not really. It just was like this realization. So a friend who deals with a lot of cancer patients suggested to me We talked the night before my surgery, and she said, take everything you want to get rid of, put it in a little suitcase, and put it inside your fallopian tubes, your uterus. She's like, load it up, put everything in there that you want to release. It was amazing. I mean, as I was going into surgery, I was like, oh, this is big medicine. And I came out and went, something really big happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of getting my footing again. So I haven't really felt where I'm at with this. But through conversations with my closest friends, I brought up that you had said I was afraid of, you know, we had dealt with me being afraid of death.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that's it. Like, it's not, it's about getting too large, too mm-hmm. big, too, I feel like.
Right. But track that energy though, Lisa, track the energy of what happens if you get too big. See, cause what generally, that's where the fear of death comes from. That's the irony. It's both and.
Oh, that if you live fully, then you die.
Or you get killed, or you get martyred, or you get, uh-huh. or you have your life ruined by what, you see what I'm saying? There's still,
yeah.
you know, and there were, you know, when we were connecting in that private session, there was also some pieces of, some scary surgeries and stuff coming up, you
yeah.
know, and there was fear and stuff going on there. But ultimately, I want to tell y'all, seriously, ultimately, it's always a fear of death. Death of the ego, death of the self, physical death, I honestly feel like everything can get tracked back to that, because if we track, well, what's the worst that can happen? I get really big, I get really successful, I get attacked. Well, what's the worst that could happen if you get attacked? I could lose everything. What's the worst if you could lose everything? I could die. Like, if you track it back far enough, there's some kind of death there.
Mm-hmm.
Death of everything that means anything to you, or death of the body. And so, and at the same time, there's also the fear of being big. You're totally spot on. It's just good to recognize that they're intertwined.
Okay.
You know, because mm-hmm. what's the worst that could happen if you get really big and expansive and put your medicine out there?
Yeah. Got to try it.
Well, yeah. It's also good for everybody who's listening to answer that question, because even if it doesn't make sense in your head, like, really answer that question, not just rhetorically. What's the worst that could happen if I just put it all on the line? Like, will I lose everything? Will I lose all my money? Will my partner leave me? Will people think I'm stupid? Will I get laughed at? Like, whatever your thing is. It doesn't matter if it makes sense, or you know that it really probably won't happen. If it's still rolling around in the programming, the energy's still there. So it's good to track that and track it to the seed and find out where that's coming from, because we all have it. And some of it, just this is all connected, what Julie was asking about, and then the witch piece and feeling like, oh, I just cleared from these institutions of religion, so now I can really be my witch self. Yay. Right? So there's these aspects of it's in the collective too. Mm-hmm. You remember being martyred or murdered for putting yourself out there big time. Mm-hmm. You remember believing in something so much and then being completely betrayed. Like, you know, even if you don't know what story it's from, it's in your collective memory, because it's happened over and over and over and over in the collective stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helping at all?
It is. I think I want to sit with what you said to think about what the worst could be. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like what all has gone on the last 4 years, that it's coming to the point where it's like, I just got to go large.
I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You could end up with
without money. I've, yeah. you know, I've had my close calls with life and death, and yeah.
And you've got this situation where, what's the worst that could happen? I could get cancer and have to get surgery after surgery for 4 years and not be able to work. And, but like, you've been there.
Yeah.
You've been to what's the worst that could happen. You've been into people's, like, biggest fear.
Yeah.
You've been living it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I haven't been living because all that's going on. Like, there's so much of my life that's been on hold or work that I can't get to because of doctor's appointments or recuperating, or so I feel held back from living. So this is just feeling more intense and like getting rid of all that garbage of, in my tubes and stuff. I love that that got all taken away. That was like the most magical process. It just made so much sense. And this is a woman who deals with cancer patients all the time. She owns a cancer retreat. Do this. It was like spot on. But it really has left me just wanting to bust out of the gate.
Yeah, because that's what I was getting at. You've lived a lot of what would be people's biggest fear, and here you are on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And survived, and you're getting ready to thrive. So, yeah, it feels like time to bust out of the gate because you're like, this is what I thought hell would be, and I just went through it.
Yeah.
Okay, then I can do anything.
Yeah.
Right? And I still hear you that it can feel scary to live. Being willing to acknowledge that and express that and honor that, oh, yeah, I've been afraid to go big as part of clearing it, just even being open to that. And so definitely keep up with, you know, the gentle soul retrievals. Just keep calling yourself back to yourself, because whenever that stuff is coming up, the reason it doesn't feel good to stay small is because it's out of alignment with who you are. If it felt good to stay small, then you would stay small. But
two new guides right now are the mouse and the elephant.
Nice.
So it's just like I've got both of those going on. It's like, okay, where do you want to stay? And the mice keep dying. Like the mice, I keep seeing dead mouse. And the elephant is just peaceful and present. And I feel like I want to work out the mouse thing. Like you said, I don't want these creatures to die for my lessons.
But we were talking about like a lot of people want to get some sort of animal totem, like bones or feathers or snake skins or whatever. Like we don't need the medicine to keep dying to get our attention. I remember when I used to find artifacts all the time, and at some point I finally went, oh, you know what, spirit, I want to get the lesson without having these animals to have to die to get it to me. And you get to a point where you trust yourself enough that you don't need the physical thing to assure you that you're getting the message. At the same time, I really appreciate that you want to go spend some time with Mouse, because Mouse is definitely getting your attention, as is Elephant. And they're a beautiful balance for each other, too.
And
Elephant is such a great remover of obstacles, as is Saint Germain. I've started calling him in. So I think you would dig him. He's pretty, pretty magical. He's also all about freedom, and he's a complete rebel. Talk about an energy that has pissed off some people. So if y'all are feeling resonant with that, go for it. And, go ahead and sit with Mouse and sit with poco a poco, bit by bit, because you've just come through this huge initiation, and you will bit by bit start to build into that going big. Anybody who just goes big overnight tends to not have any depth. It's like if you see somebody win a big talent competition on TV, and it's just an overnight, unless they've been doing it their whole lives and they've been training for this for decades and they can keep up with it, generally they just kind of disappear. There's no depth there. And it's the same with this. You want to build those roots, and that's what mouse medicine brings, is the details and the bit by bit and the little nibbles and little nibbles and little nibbles, right? And as you continue those daily practice little nibbles, then you'll end up building something really big. But if you're trying to just start really big and bite it all off, it's overwhelming, right? So my guides told me to create a daily practice of writing every day. And they said, type at least one full page on your laptop. And I said, that's fine, but you got to tell me what to write. because I have no clue what you want me to write about. And they said it's going to be channeled. So every day I do one, at least one page of channeled writing. And they said it's going to be channeled, write for 365 days. And then at the end of the year, you'll have a book. And I went,
wow,
that's cool. I mean, I was just being told to have a daily practice, but it was such a perfect reflection of poco a poco, bit by bit, you know? And so that's what I'm really feeling as medicine for you right now. It's good medicine for all of us. You know, most people don't just, you don't go from zero to 60, you know, you gotta like bit by bit.
Okay.
So and the more you go bit by bit and you get confirmation and you get affirmation and you succeed and you get through that thing that you thought would, it may have taken you 2 weeks instead of 2 days, but you got it done. And then you go, I can do more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's how you start getting your confidence.
Okay.
You know, I didn't just start out putting a mentorship online. I did a teleconference call because I didn't want to do video. And I was like, well, that worked. And I did a few more. And then I did some free webinars just to see if it would work. And I was like, well, that kind of worked. Okay. You see what I'm saying? And then mm-hmm. it builds and builds and builds. And then people come to me all the time and go, how come you're so busy? And I'm like, cause I've been building this for over a decade. I've been building this for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not instant in that way. If you want to build depth, and I feel like that's where you are, you're right there. And so just start poco a poco-ing.
Okay.
And you'll get the confidence as you go because you'll see yourself succeed.
Nice.
And that really goes for everybody, even though I'm talking to you.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm so psyched that you're here and healthy and out of the hospital. And thanks for letting us know, because I know a lot of us were holding prayers for you and sending our healing teams.
And felt it. It was great. Everything went great.
That's awesome. That's so good to hear. So there's a whole lot over here, and we've only got about 5 or 6 minutes. So let's see. Oh, good, Blue Fire, that's good. Hey, Shanti. Death of life as it currently is. Yeah, the death of your life as it currently is. Yeah, that's a good one too, Julie. So Lindsay's saying it didn't work for me bringing that energy outside. I couldn't find it. So, yeah, Lindsay, if you can't find it and bring it out, it's okay. Just keep practicing and keep working with it. And also, like I was saying, there's another way to do it where if you sit with things like, and I don't know what your self-talk is that might be negative, so I'll just throw out some random self-talk. We'll just stick with the I'm fat thing because that's like a female thing in general sometimes. But like if you sit with all the things you judge yourself for, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that, and then track the energy in your body and find it. Find that energy in your body. Maybe it's in your solar plexus. Maybe it's in your core. And you can unmute Lindsay if you want, Anna Claire. Maybe it's in your core. And then just go in and talk to that energy in there, okay? And then it doesn't necessarily have to come outside of you. I just want to give you all that as a possibility, because even if you go into your body and talk to it, Lindsay, you're still talking to it as if it's separate, even though it's not, to give yourself that sense of reflection so you can communicate. Does that make sense?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense. I feel like I just couldn't connect to like my negative self. I couldn't remember what it was. So maybe I feel like that will be helpful when I'm in it, you know, when I'm talking to myself that way.
And if you, because of what you typed earlier about who you ran into, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Because of what you typed earlier about running into that person, you know, yeah. it might be that you start with that and do some cord clearing, and that starts helping clear some of that energy for you. Since that's kind of fresh and up, you might need to start with that other person who was the perpetrator and go to my YouTube channel and, you know, do the – it's Bloom Post cord clearing and just do some cord clearing. if you feel safe and comfortable to do that on your own through a shamanic journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because that's up for you, your own self-talk may not be as up right now. And, mm-hmm. and self-talk can be really subtle too. You know, it can be, oh my God, I'm 40. What am I doing with my life? You know, I mean, it'll come and go depending on where everybody is in their life and what's going on. So that's totally fine if you weren't able to track anything tonight. But it's got you started so that you'll have that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where is the cord clearing on your website?
Go to YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And then type in Bloom Post cord clearing.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Now, we didn't do as much journeying tonight, but is this you, Anna Claire, asking me a question? Okay. And you can mute Lindsay again. Is it possible to do a group cord clearing like multiple people at the same time, or should you focus on one cord at a time? So yeah, tonight's going to be like a Q&A instead of a lot of journeying, but that's okay. It kind of ebbs and flows for those of you who are newer to the group. Last time we did a whole bunch of journeying, and this time we're doing a little and more question, but that's totally great because this helps you do your own work. You can totally do a group cord clearing. It really just depends on who you're working with and like how triggered you are by them or what your experience was with them, Anna Claire. So if you want to do, like Elaine had asked about a lineage clearing, which you can totally do. I did a lineage clearing on the free webinars that you still have access to. We didn't get to it tonight. And you can also do a lineage clearing through the cord clearing. Do the cord clearing with your lineage. Okay. And it's easier to do that as a group because you could spend the rest of your life doing every ancestor in your family line. Now, if you've got, say you want to do a cord clearing with all your exes and you want to clean up the energy, you can do them all as a group through that cord clearing. If there's one ex that just keeps, you know, popping up or you can't seem to get unhooked or what, then do them individually, right? You can unmute yourself if you have any questions about that.
No, I like that. Thank you. I think the other thing I was just wondering is, what if you feel like there's a cord that needs to be cleared, but you can't, you're not quite sure who it's coming from or why it's there. So you like, if anything is hooked in or attached that I'm not able to like put my finger on right now, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's why you want to be in the empath class that I've just did because that's what we're talking about in the empath class is how to keep your energy clear when you're like, I don't even know where this is coming from. There's a couple things. You can track the energy and see if you're able to figure out where it's coming from. You can track the energy into your physical body and see where you're feeling it affect you. If you feel that energy and you get really anxious and it's all in your core, then you want to go do some clearing there. You can totally clear cords that you don't know where they're coming from. You just want to find them in your body and then do the cord clearing with the anxiety it creates or the fear it creates, or even just calling your guys to support and assist in transmuting and transforming those energies into pure love and pure medicine. It might be a little bit more of a process because you don't know exactly where they're coming from, but a lot of times it's not yours.
Okay.
And I'm just going to keep that kind of general because I really do go into more of that in the empath class. And what you're touching on is what a lot of empaths experience, mm-hmm. is feeling like, what is this energy? I don't even know where this is coming from. And it feels hooked in.
Right now there's just so much that's going on in the collective and it's been really hard to sort it out. And it's just really challenging.
Yeah, and Julie was saying, and I actually thought of this and forgot. Thank you, Julie. You remember the Andean clearing we did?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just clear from everybody, including all the people you love and adore. That's on my YouTube channel, too. I did a short video talking about how to do it, and I think we've done it before in one of the mentorship videos as well. And that'll help you. It's just getting into your own bubble of energy, and you just unhook, unenmesh from the tribe of humanity, every person, place, situation, and thing, even the ones you love and adore, just to get completely free and clear. So go to YouTube and put in Bloom Post Andean New Year clearing or something like that, and I'll talk about that in more detail. But that, thanks, Julie, for that reminder. That's a really good one, too, for when you're just like, I just need to get in my own bubble.
Yeah.
And that's what we talk about in the empath class, is about getting sovereign.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for asking. So it's a few minutes after, but let me see. It's on the 10-4 call. Do you mean mentorship session? Oh, okay. So it was on the October 4th session, if anybody. Thanks, Julie. How do you even know that? That's amazing. You're hired. On the October 4th session, if anybody wants to go back and do that Andean clearing, or if you missed it, go check that out. But yeah, you can definitely do cord clearing just like we did with those institutions. We didn't go and go like this institution, that church, this thing. Like we just cleared with all the religious institutions at once, just in a general way. And then if you're like, I really need to go to whatever I grew up in and do some clearing with that, then you can do that. So awesome. Good questions. So thanks for all the questions. And Elaine, check out those recordings that have the lineage clearing and do the cord clearing. And then we can check in again next week about that. I think, oh yeah, you're still on the call. Great. Yeah. But those are available. And if you can't find y'all, those four free webinars with the hummingbird activation, lineage clearing, a couple other things, they're still available to you. So if you can't find them, email Madison and she'll send you the link. You're welcome to use those anytime. Those are free to you, as well as all the mentorship sessions that we've done up to this point are always available to you on the membership page. So if you go to the membership page, there's a link to those webinars too. Hummingbird activation. I can't remember the other ones. Anyway, let's take a minute and breathe into our bellies. Thank you for all the good questions, all the good medicine. Thank you to our guides. May all of our energies be free and clear, free and clear, free and clear. As each of you reconnect in your personal space with your guides, stepping away from this group sacred space, thank you for your willingness, your openness, your receptivity. Thank you for bringing your good medicine to the sacred space. Thank you to all of our guides who support and assist us. Thank you all for being here as you ground your energy into Pachamama. I just want to welcome all the new folks again, and I will see you on the Facebook group page. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you, Anna Claire, for hosting. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the good questions. Have a great night.